The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
We're proud to have this damn good dog as part of the Fan family. Time to talk college football with Matt Stinchcomb. Presented by Georgia's own credit union, Anderson Power Services, AAA, and ASW Distillery.
As always, our Tuesday conversation with Matt Stinchcomb happens now as he joins us on the Hobson & Hobson Newsmaker line. Stinch, good afternoon, sir. How's it going?
Oh, man, just fantastic. What a fantastic wrap to the college football season, at least for the Bulldogs over there in Athens. Was a fun regular season and one heck of a championship game.
Yeah, I was going to ask you had a chance to just be a fan this weekend. That had to have been great for you and the family.
Oh, man, we had a big time. Yeah, no real official duties, and that's quite liberating. It's kind of fun to just sit there and watch a ball game, and especially that ball game. There was bunch of big plays, of course, and then the blocked field goal return for a touchdown was especially exciting. So a little bit of everything in that one.
Hey, Matt, why is it that some people are taking it personally, like somebody walked into their home and kicked their dog, that Stetson Bennett is going to go up to New York and be part of the Heisman thing?
I don't know. Yeah, I genuinely don't know why that's it does seem like some folks take that as like an affront of some type. And you know, it's unfortunate because you don't have to be a Bulldog fan to see the legitimacy of his Heisman candidacy. And I think part of it, too, is that there's a lot of folks that have to be told what to think, and they weren't told to think that he was a Heisman candidate long enough or often enough this season. And so now that they're realizing that he is, it's a shock to their little gerbil minds. So if you think and actually pay attention to the season and football that actually matters and performances that are actually in legitimate contests, it really doesn't take much convincing to realize that Stetson Bennett's body of work certainly warrants his being there in the context of the Heisman Trophy, which we all know is an offensive award. Maybe it's offensive to some, but an offensive award nonetheless, and largely a quarterback award. You know, Devontae Smith and Derrick Henry's, you know, notwithstanding, it goes to QBs. So if you don't like the fact that it's all QBs or that it happens to be yet another QB, you know, that's a larger conversation. But for it to include Stetson Bennett, if you take exception to that, then you probably need to check yourself, go back and look at the season, pay attention to the stats, because a lot of these folks are box score experts, and recognize that a bunch of numbers, yards, completions, and touchdowns scored versus lesser opponents and blowout scenarios really isn't that compelling or indicative of how good of a football player you are.
Stinchcomb, headline, Bennett bashers have minds of rodents.
At best.
Well, I think you're right. I think a lot of people, and listen, it's not a bad thing. We just don't have time. A lot of people are just checking the box scores, as you said. If you're not actually watching the games, then you don't really understand what Stetson Bennett has meant to this team.
Yeah, well, and I will say, like, any votes before the championship game, I don't get that. What is the hurry? You're telling me that nothing could possibly happen in four quarters of play that might change your mind, that you're so convinced. Who is the candidate this year that was so compelling that you're like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens in the championship week. This is my guy.
Well, Matt, really? We had Pat 40.
I don't know who that guy is.
We had Pat 40 on the other day. Certainly when it goes to 12, you have to vote when it's all done. Again, it's my biggest pet peeve in all of sports is the idea that when we went to 4, I didn't even like it when it was just a BCS game. You have to wait till all the games are done. But when they go to 12, you cannot tell me that this second Saturday in December is what you're supposed to be doing to create a TV show. There's too many big games left to be played. They've got to change this whole thing.
Yeah, I would be all for it. You know, to me, look, I'm not a huge Heisman guy for reasons that you are probably already evident based on my comments here and previously. but it's kind of a big deal. Nissan kind of sponsors a big ad campaign around it. There's a lot of money that's contingent with being named a Heisman Trophy winner. And you would think that if you think your award is important, that you would want your voters willing to watch as much football involving the candidates as possible. And the fact that you would burp out your little vote before one more week or even two more weeks, is that too much to ask? And if so, maybe you should just recuse yourself from the voting process. Maybe you don't like college football that much. If it's too much to ask, that you wait to watch and complete an evaluation based on the entirety of a potential candidate's body of work. That includes the kid from TCU, the kid from USC, the kid from Georgia. Unfortunately, Ohio State just couldn't win their division this year. So because of that, you're sitting there going, gosh, if you want to vote on this award, do us the courtesy of watching all the football that actually gets played.
All right. I'm sitting in my chair a little bit harder than I just was a second ago because I'm going to ask you about Caleb Williams and the fingernail stuff. Why would the player do it? And then how does nobody on that staff, including the head coach who has to be ultimately responsible, let him go out onto the field like that?
2 weeks in a row.
Stupid. I don't know. I think it's so incredibly stupid. And as I understand it, I actually inquired about, who is this kid? What's this kid about? Because I will say the fingernails kind of make me think that he's a me guy, that he's kind of a punk. And you look at these other candidates, they're very much not those guys. I mean, you even think the guys that you maybe could make a pretty strong argument should still be going up there. They're not me guys. Hendon Hooker is not a me guy. Stetson Bennett, not a me guy. The idea that this guy's painting his fingernails, and by the way, you paint your fingernails and then you get dunked on. It doesn't look good. I mean, what was it? Cam Rising's comment in the press conference was just fantastic. Hope you liked it. I mean, it's just, why would you do that? And as I understand it, after further inquiry, it really isn't representative of the kid that he is, that he's a tough-minded kid, that he's well-liked, he knows everybody in the facility, speaks to everybody, treats everybody the same. And you're going, wow, that's great to hear.
Where's the adult,
because
though?
I got to tell you, from the cheap seats, it looks like he's a punk.
Where's the adult? Where's the quality control? Where's whatever it is you want to call it at that point?
Don't know. I genuinely don't know. It seems like a really, really bad idea. It's gotten a lot of run. I don't think it's gotten the desired effect that he certainly would have intended. It's just a universally bad idea.
Do you have to answer to that to NFL people at some point next year?
I don't think they care.
You don't?
I think the only reason, no, because, well, look, if they're only going to base their evaluation on that and on the outside looking in, then they're not that serious about you anyway, but they won't. And they're going to talk to people around that facility, and they're going to hear the things that I've heard, mm-hmm. which are all very positive about the guy. And so it makes it all the more stupid. You're like, you're doing something that is contrary to who most people attest and likely are accurate in saying who you actually are. Why would you do that? Why would you do something like that would, cast you in a light that's different than who you actually are, and certainly who you want to appear to be from an NFL perspective or, even among your teammates? I don't get it. I think it's exceptionally dumb.
Matt Stinchcomb with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line. What are your initial thoughts on the matchup here in town on New Year's Eve?
Well, it got less, I suppose, imposing, with the opt-out at receiver. I'll not hazard a guess at his last name. I've heard other people say it. I've heard it pronounced 10 different ways.
It's in Jigba.
Bottom line is, thank you.
Sure. It's right here.
Really talented football player. This was inevitable. Now, this was inevitable that we were going to have a guy that would be a major contributor on the field in a playoff game say, it's just not worth it. He's battled a hamstring all season long. It was thought that he could contribute in this game, and if so, certainly would warrant attention and could be a big component, and isn't. I know people are saying, he's injured, and you're getting conflicting reports, and he's given every indication that he plans on participating in the combine. So it's unfortunate. that Ohio State and Ohio State's fans won't have that talent available to them when it otherwise seemingly could have been because of that decision. But this is a road that we've been heading down, and it was just an inevitability that we would ultimately get there. When we expand the playoff, we should get used to thinking and hearing these types of announcements more often. There's going to be more guys going, yeah, I don't think we're going to make it. I don't think we'll get to the championship, or maybe we've already won a championship, or I'm banged up, or I'm sick of these guys, or I hate my coaches. I'm shutting it down. I'm going pro. Fans aren't going to want to hear that.
I know it doesn't behoove anybody, and whether bulletin board material is a real thing or not, I'll ask you, if I would have given you your choice from what it is you know and seen, TCU or Ohio State, who would you rather have played if there was such a thing to be asked and answered?
You know, it's tough because you'd think it'd be TCU, but my gosh, that team is only good enough to win nearly all their games. And then the ones that they lose, you know, they nearly win that one as well. You watch Ohio State and, you know, it does seem as if they would be more imposing. You know, they both have Heisman Trophy finalists at quarterback. Who's Ohio State beaten this year? They've beaten Penn State. That's it. And so it's tough. You know, my knee-jerk reaction was, it feels like it should be TCU. I'm not sure that that's accurate, especially seeing the way Ohio State performed in that second half versus Michigan. They just got thumped. And the type of play, we talked about this before, that Michigan has, it's you know, kind of like it's Georgia-lite. You know, it is reminiscent of a more physical four quarters of football, and Ohio State didn't look like they were up for it. If that's the case, then you'd like to think that a team that's performed even better with that similar approach would have pretty positive prospects. So I'm perfectly fine with the draw that Georgia ended up getting as the number one seed.
Let's circle back to Stetson Bennett. Wins the Burlsworth Award last night as the best player to start his career as a walk-on. You weren't a walk-on, obviously, but you've seen the walk-ons. Can you talk about, we've seen Rudy, but how challenging day in, day out is it for a walk-on to even get noticed?
Man, it's those guys genuinely love football. They do. There's, you know, they get to participate in some of the benefits of being on the football team, but certainly not all of them. And that they're paying their own way. And Stetson is an extreme example. And I say that because this guy clearly warranted more opportunity. And even after there was extended evaluation opportunity, still wasn't given the run that he should have gotten. And then ultimately did. These walk-ons, there's some really good football players that get overlooked. There's some really good football players that haven't developed as early as maybe other guys have, and so it takes them a little while longer. Guys that don't fit the prototype or the mold, they aren't tall enough, fast enough, you know, heavy enough, whatever it is. And so they end up walking on, and you learn very quickly that, man, these guys belong. This guy should be here. And I don't know how he was this under-recruited, but sure, I'm glad that he's on the football field with us now. But you can't say enough, I think, about the love and passion for the game, the genuine affinity that walk-ons have, because it doesn't – Stetson had a great line. I think it was something like, you know, wish my teammates could be here, but I know, you know, they couldn't accept this award because they took the easy way out. They got scholarships right out of high school.
Right.
What a great line.
Yeah.
It's just and know what? Yeah. It's a heck of a lot easier to have gotten that scholarship than to have to fight, scratch, claw, try out for the team, make the team, and just try to hang on to your spot, you know, and not overplay your stroke. That's another part of it, too. There's a very real caste system in a locker room. And if you're a walk-on, you know, there's only certain lanes you're supposed to be in there. You don't need to be down there embarrassing the scholarship guys. They don't like that so much.
Well, the other part, is the pro
they
sports
frown
have
upon that.
Yeah, well, the pro sports have it. If you're a first-round pick, second-round pick, I know what's invested in you. And part of what's invested in you is, I don't want to look like I was wrong. You get more chances than everybody else.
No question. And that goes on from a coaching standpoint or a player personnel standpoint. And even it's lesser so on the pros, because I think those guys get it more than, you know, college age kids. But even within the locker room, where it's like, ah, that guy's a walk on. Yeah, he might be a walk-on that should have gotten your scholarship. And a lot of times that gets proven.
I don't want to play olden days, but can you imagine being a walk-on in the olden days where there were physical practices? Because I got to imagine, you're a walk-on, you're a tackling dummy. You are the guy that's thrown out into the middle of everything, are you not? So people can practice doing the things that they're going to do on the field on Saturdays?
Yeah, that's the look squad. And that's partly what I'm talking about, where sometimes, you know, get guys that, and look, some guys, they don't have to play on Saturdays, so their game day is Wednesday, and your game day was, you know, an actual Saturday. You're beat up, it's late in practice, and you're not looking to get the coach's attention. You're just trying to execute, and that stuff gets old when you got the rah-rah Rudy guy over there who's, you know, seventh period All-American. That drives you nuts. So that's the tightrope that those guys have to learn to walk, is that, hey, man, I got to get noticed. I want to prove that I can play. And at the same time, there is a role that, and there's a lot of scholarship guys on the scout team too, that I'm supposed to be playing here. And it's not to blow up the play every single time, in period 15. So it's just it's a unique spot, to say the least. But there's a lot of really good football players that are quote-unquote walk-ons. And with NIL, incidentally, guys, you know, the walk-ons, that whole dynamic is completely changed, even from what it was 2 years ago or a year ago. If you're a walk-on with NIL, you can be a scholarship player, in effect, depending on what type of NIL deal you get.
Hey, have you heard the fire marshal has just declared the portal too full? He's just shut down the portal.
He's turning people away.
they put up the occupancy numbers.
He's standing there with his little concert clicker.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh, how many is that? Okay, all right, two more in. Yeah, it's we'll see. I'm fascinated to see how disastrous some of these transfer portal decisions are. I also wonder how authentic some of them are, because I do know that to stoke the flames of NIL interest, the best way to do that from your existing, we'll call it quote-unquote supporters at your school that you currently are at, is to be in the portal. Oh, boy, we really want him back. Oh, okay, well, what's it worth it to you?
Yeah, it's a negotiation.
I'll be interested to see. I think it's just a tactic for a lot of guys. Yeah. I think a lot of guys will boomerang back into their program if the program's willing to keep them. But I don't doubt for a moment that this isn't just, oh, I'm not getting the opportunity here, or I don't like the coaches, teammates, classes, location, whatever, so I'm going to transfer. It's, no, I'm going to use this as a negotiation tool to see what I can get. And that's a dynamic that did not exist even when the portal was first introduced.
What did you make of Deion in front of his Colorado maybe team?
I get what he was trying to do, but I'm not so sure that – I know this. If I was sitting in that room, I wouldn't be real thrilled. Now, they're not a very good football team, but that doesn't mean there aren't good football players in that room. And I will say, some of the comments, and I listened to the whole thing, it was pretty narrow in its focus. And to encourage the players, regardless of nuance, you know, to ignore your audience, this is a group of college kids you haven't really even met or met with. And for you to say to go on ahead and jump in the portal, I don't think that they're going to hear much else before or after that statement. So we'll see how that works out. And especially knowing that you got a kid on the team, you've already introduced him as a quarterback. There's a lot that he's already done. We were going, in the long run, it might not amount to much, but in the short run, I would say it's less than ideal.
Well, it's going to be fascinating, as are the playoffs. Stinch, we appreciate your contributions all season long. I'm sure we'll do it as we get ready for the college football playoff as well. Thanks for the time again.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Matt Stinchcomb with us on the Hobson and Hobson Newsmaker line.
The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Camp Margaritaville RV Resort, where you can just breathe in and breathe out. Or move. There's biking, boating, arcade games, hiking, nearby golfing. Or fly through the new Fins Up Water Park. Thrills, chills, twists, and turns. This could be you. Camp Margaritaville at Lanier Islands. An easy one-hour drive from Atlanta. Book your stay today at CampMargaritavilleLanierIslands.com.
When you buy a used car, don't be taken for a ride. Get Ford Blue Advantage certified at Wade Ford, Atlanta's headquarters for factory-certified pre-owned vehicles. Go to WadeFord.com. There, you'll find a great selection of Ford Blue Advantage certified used cars, trucks, and SUVs. With Blue certified, nearly all makes and all models are in stock now. You'll find something perfect for just about any budget. Buy with confidence at the Wade Ford factory-certified used car outlet at WadeFord.com. Wade Ford, we are Atlanta's Ford dealer.